from the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to Figure Four Daily with your host, Brian Alvarez.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Figure Four Daily. It is December 26, 2013. Figure4Online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Lance Storm is here on the line today. And Lance, how you doing the day after Christmas?
It's Boxing Day. This is like a holiday for us.
You know, it's funny. I was gonna joke around that Canadians didn't celebrate Christmas on Christmas. Like your wacky Thanksgiving is on some random date in like October or something like that.
And it's not a random date, but okay.
I thought Christmas might be in July, you know, because it's the only month without snow.
Yeah, because Jesus was born on a different day here.
Well, sure. You know, it's just my dad is not Jesus, but he does have two birthdays.
Well, there you go.
Do you know that?
I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, he's got the birthday.
I knew he wasn't Jesus. I just didn't know the birthday part.
Well, he's Hispanic, so he could be Jesus, but he was for all of my life, he was born on November 4th. And then one day, we discovered that his real birthday was in April.
How does that happen?
It's a long story.
I would imagine.
We've been celebrating the wrong birthday for over 60 years. It's crazy.
There's no point going back at this point. Might as well just finish up.
We do November still. So what was your Christmas like?
It was nice. It was very relaxed and quiet. Although it's not quite as much fun now that my kids have gotten older and don't really get toys for Christmas.
Well, you know what that means, Lance.
Means I get to sleep in more.
I was going to say, means you need another one.
No, that's not happening.
Time to get working.
Yeah, that's not happening. Doctors have said it'd be an extremely bad idea for my wife, even back a decade ago. And I've been fixed, so my plumbing doesn't work anymore, so.
Wow. Well, that solves that problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's something you never knew about Lance Storm, everybody.
Yes.
He's been fixed.
I've been fixed.
Because of his defective state prior.
There you go. Although the fact that they don't get toys anymore does save me the long hours Christmas Eve assembling stuff.
Well, you know what the problem is, Lance? The problem is you didn't have any boys. And nothing against your girls, of course. I expect to have girls. But if you had boys, my buddy Craig, for example, is a 41-year-old man, and he was getting toys for Christmas, and he's unbelievably excited about it.
Yeah, we're left with, it's for the real true excitement of what you would consider for children, it's my dog. He loves squeaky chew toys, and we always get him a new one for Christmas. And he is just so ridiculously happy when he gets that new squeaky toy. He just freaks out and just goes nuts.
My God. Well, on that note, you did make it home for Christmas. And for those of you that have been following the saga of the package that I mailed to Lance, which took years off my life, by the way, it did arrive.
Yes, I was told by my wife it did arrive and that she... message you to say thank you.
She did message a very nice message. So,
and I told her yesterday about your hour and a half, and she's like, no way.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, post offices up here aren't that busy.
Well,
I don't know whether we just have a lot more of them, because we have a lot of, like, it seems almost every drugstore or convenience store has a postal kiosk in it. So three or four people in line is like a huge lineup here.
Well, there's a lot more people here in this country, Lance. And
well, there's a million people in Calgary. How many people are there in Seattle?
I'm just talking in the whole country, mailing things all over the place.
Well, yeah, but they're not all in the same line, Brian.
In this country, Lance, three or four people in line means the post office is closed.
Ah.
They're waiting for the next morning.
All right. Well, I'll try to refrain from having my wife have you post things around Christmas.
Actually, have you been reading the news about how, like, UPS, there's millions of packages undelivered?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. A lot of, in fact, as some people are aware, I overnighted something. I spent $100 on it, and it took 2 days to get here. And I actually complained and got my money back. And then, from the same shipping company, I two-dayed something, and it took 3 days to get here. So, they can't do anything right. It's all those people in line. That's the problem. Everyone just shop on the internet. Just get people subscriptions to our website, and you'll be fine.
Gotta get those Amazon drones up there.
That's right, Amazon drones. All right. How was the trip to wherever you went, Germany? How was Dirty Dan Cox in his final match?
Everything that happened while in Germany was fantastic. The trip there and back was horrendous. It was, 20 hours to get there and 28 or 28 and a half to get back. But it was really great to go back, and I enjoyed wandering around Hanover. The one day I just went for like a 2 or 3 hour walk. Was great. And just seeing the guys again and sharing wrestling stories, it was really cool. And then the match itself was a lot of fun. It wasn't a huge venue, but it was the fullest venue I think I've ever worked. There was literally people standing in every aisle. So it was legitimately standing room only, because it was a whole lot of people standing along the aisles and stuff. So it was packed. So it was a lot of fun.
So who won?
I did.
Really?
Yes. Danny and I are both of the same mentality of...
You wanted to put over the young up-and-comer?
Well, not really caring one way or the other. And since he's traditionally been the heel in that territory, he thought ending the show on a happy note would be better than him winning in his retirement match. So he made the call to put me over. Although at the last minute, right before we went out, I went to him and was like, if the crowd really gets into you because it is your last match, because we did a super kick spot into a crossbody off the top rope. And I said to him, it's like, if the crowd's really into you just because it's your last match, it's like, feel free to roll through on the crossbody. And he's like, I don't think so, but okay. And he ended up not.
So at the end of the day, the crowd was not really into Dirty Dan Collins.
Well, they were, but it wasn't... They were more into the babyface heel dynamic.
I see.
So we just went with the way it was. But, it was a lot of fun.
So in his retirement match, you went out as a heel?
Yes.
Man. And that's sticking to it to the end.
Yes, for sure. And then, of course, did the farewell speech and thanked everybody for hating him for so long.
Wow.
Well, with a name like Dirty Dan Collins, you pretty much have to be a heel.
Or just not bathe.
There you go. Although I much prefer him being a heel than not bathing. So,
has he come out of retirement yet?
Not yet. And I think there's a good chance he won't. Granted, he's not that old. He's only 2 years older than me. But because he's English, he's been working for over 30 years.
Now the trip to and fro. What were the best and worst parts of it? If there were any best parts, anyway.
I think the only best part is it was a couple of the flights, because it was three flights there and three flights back. There was a couple times where I had an empty middle seat beside me, which was about the only upside to the travel. The downside was on the trip home, I connected in Toronto during the ice storm. So I ended up getting into Toronto 2 hours late, and then having to spend 7 hours in Toronto waiting for a flight out. It was getting to the point where it was looking like I might not get home on the 22nd like I was supposed to, because I was originally on a 4 p.m. flight, and I didn't end up leaving until, I think, 11 o'clock that night. There's still parts of Toronto that don't have power. Jimmy Corderas, former WWE referee, I think he's coming up on 4 or 5 days without power.
That sucks.
So I guess it was just a couple degrees below zero. With a lot of rain. So all the rain is freezing pretty much on impact. So a lot of the trees are coated in an ice layer. And because that's so heavy that the trees are falling over, branches are breaking, taking down power lines. The streets and sidewalks are covered in ice. It's just a complete disaster. I think at one point there was 200,000 people without power in Toronto.
You know, it's funny. Maybe it was on Twitter. Your wife posted somewhere. Maybe it was Facebook. Yay, Lance will be home for Christmas. And this was on like the 21st or something.
22nd.
And I was like, there's a possibility he's going to be in the airport for 3 days?
Yeah, that's because, again, she was concerned and my mom was concerned. And I'm like, I think the worst case scenario, I probably would have got out on the 23rd. Although granted the fact that they're still having delays and issues, I suppose there was a possibility I might not get home till maybe the 24th, but I couldn't imagine I was going to be in Toronto for 3 days, yeah.
Maybe UPS planes.
There you go. I have to get that Amazon drone to deliver me.
That's right. So
I also saw a bunch of really shitty movies that I didn't even finish on the flight.
that they played for you?
Well, you've got sort of like the on-demand entertainment system where there's like a dozen or two movies you can choose from, and there were several that I tried and didn't even last particularly long in because it just seemed so stupid.
I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And what were a few of these movies, Lance, that you couldn't last 10 minutes in?
I tried Identity Thief with Jason Bateman and I don't remember the other girl's name. She was also in Heat, although I found her funny as hell.
She was in Heat?
The movie Heat.
Oh.
I found that was just not funny. I watched it for probably about a half an hour and realized that this isn't funny. I haven't laughed once and turned it off. My apologies to Steve Austin, but I tried Grown Ups 2, which he has a small part in, and I think I literally lasted 10 minutes in that thing. I was just, hadn't even got into the movie yet. Just the opening few scenes just to, I think, establish characters was just so stupid I turned it off.
How in God's name do you sit through the Brian and Vinny show?
Your show's funny.
I just don't get it.
I think it also helps that I do other things.
I see. So we drone on in the background.
Yeah, I don't know if drone is the appropriate word, but yeah, I listen to your show if I'm, you know, driving to the gym or if I'm, you know, cleaning up the kitchen, I got to go shovel the driveway. I put my iPod in and it amuses me while I do other things. Where if I'm just sitting down watching a movie, although I did watch We're the Millers, which was a comedy, and I found that funny.
Oh.
So I do have a sense of humor. Just have to find the right chord, so to speak.
Did you enjoy the Christmas show this year?
I did. I don't think it was quite as funny as past years, but the Missy Hyatt and Brent really took it to another level. And then Mark Briscoe and Vinny marking out for Mark Briscoe, I think, closed the show on a really strong note.
Vinny had no idea what was coming. I kept him completely in the dark. And somebody on Twitter counted up the number of times that I pushed Vinny to drink. 77 times in 2 hours.
So you may be responsible for his... him having an affair with the toilet later that evening.
I did not realize at the time how hard I pushed this poor guy to drink 77 times in 2 hours.
Now, if someone hasn't listened to the show, it doesn't mean Vinny drank 77 times in an hour, because there was times where I think he would have...
He damn near did.
No, but there was, you know, come on, Vinny, have a drink. Come on, Vinny, have a drink. And you did that 3 or 4 times, and then he drank. Yeah, he was pretty ripped by the end of it all.
You know, when you went to Germany and back, and you had to take 3 flights there, 3 flights back, is that usual protocol, or did they just get you a ticket that required 3 stops?
I think you can do it in 2. I was originally expecting Calgary to Frankfurt, and then was just a Frankfurt to Hanover connection. But the fact that it is close to the holiday season, perhaps the more favorable flights were booked. So I ended up going Calgary, London, Munich, Hanover, and then on the way home it was Hanover, Munich, Toronto, Calgary. So it was a little bit more of a milk run than usual, but only one more flight. And again, with it being that close to Christmas, you know, most flights were probably fairly packed.
So how many bookings do you have left, Lance?
I have none left. I had 8 this year. For the record, I think I went 3 and 5. One my first, my last, and one in the middle. So, but I have no bookings whatsoever on the schedule. That is not to say that I'm not going to end up with any. I've got a few people asking, but I've not accepted any, nor do I have any immediate plans to. But if somebody comes up with an interesting enough offer, then I might. But 8 in 1 year was lots.
How do you feel?
Not too bad. My right knee's kind of buggered right now. Just something I've done a million times, but in the match with Danny, I just when he's got me in an arm wringer, just punch a front flip by pushing off the bottom rope and posting off the top rope, hit a front flip, and I've hit it a million times. And I don't know whether the ropes were a different height or what, but I ended up landing with my knee locked out and hyperextended my knee and hurt like hell when I did it. and managed to get through the match, no problem, but it was bothering me a lot, and my knee is quite sore, has been for the last few days. But other than that, I'm relatively all right.
Reminds me of a funny story. I used to do, when I was a lot younger, I would do a lot more high flying. Not like a lot of high flying, but I would use some gymnastics. And I would always come out of it completely unscathed. And then one day, somebody decided to give me snake eyes. You know, where they carry you over the shoulder, they just drop your face on the top turnbuckle. Like the easiest move in the world. But for some reason, I guess because I'm short, I bonked my head, and as my feet came to land on the mat was too far away. And so my leg was straight, and I hyperextended my knee on a snake eyes. That's when you kind of think, you know, maybe I should just quit.
That's the deal breaker for you?
Yeah. You know, when you get hurt on something like really stupid, it's sort of like, maybe this just isn't for me.
Although it's one thing. Something stupid.
It is always so. That is a fact.
Well, but, I always use Rob Van Dam as the example. It's like all that crazy shit and he did in ECW, and his first major injury was a baseball slide.
Yeah, but I mean, even the baseball slide kind of, it's like you got those boots on. It's not like you're sliding on something slick. You're sliding on a canvas. You know what I mean? I can see that happening.
But done a million baseball slides. And other than if I'm wearing trunks, I get a bit of mat burn on my hip. But actually the baseball slide, there's been a lot of people that have caught their ankle and have snapped it.
Yeah, not good.
But again, when you consider the amount of flip dives and crazy dives to the floor the guy's done, or the 6,000 times he lands on his head, getting put out with a baseball slide was a little bit silly.
So who are you waiting for your retirement match, Lance? Jericho?
In a perfect world, I would love it if my last match would be him. In a perfect world, both of us would have our last match. That way we'd open the careers and close the careers. I've often joked half-heartingly that when he is done completely, he and I need to rent the Pinocchio Moose Hall here, the building we had our first match in, and do one more to go out in the same building in the same match. We could even do the 15-minute draw and end with perfect bookends. But I'd be content if the match with Danny was my last. I'm certainly not saying that it is. But, yeah, Jericho would be the ideal person.
Would you make sure to invite nobody to this hall to make sure that it was empty?
Hey, there was at least 100 people at this first one. So.
Yeah, sure. So get 100 people there. But if you bill, it's going to be the retirement match of Chris Jericho and Lance Storm. You're going to get an overflowed hall.
Well, yeah, although even if we sell the place out, I don't think we'll get more than probably 150.
Oh, come on, Lance.
It's a small little building.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you be like Arena Mexico that one year where so many people showed up that the thing broke.
There you go. They'll break the walls. But yeah, Jericho would be ideal. Although at this point, I'd be content with if it was Danny.
Now, the UFC this weekend, are you buying it?
Most definitely, yes.
Yeah. Children excited?
Becca's excited for it. Her and I are really the only two ones in the family that watch.
Because of the ladies or just MMA in general?
She likes MMA in general. She's a little bit more excited because of the ladies' fight. But she also watched the Silva Weidman one with me, so I'm quite sure she's interested in the rematch on that. She watches most of the UFCs with me and follows it somewhat decently. So we're both pretty excited about catching that event.
Did you watch Don Fry's breakdown of the event?
I actually watched it about 20 minutes ago.
That was something else.
It was interesting, yeah.
It's interesting, Lance says.
Well, again, I think the thing that was crazy was the production values of it.
Oh, yeah, this was not cheaply produced.
Yeah, this wasn't just a, hey, this will be funny, turn on your iPhone, let's shoot Don Fry talking about the fights. It's like, this was thought out, planned, scripted, laid out, edited. It's like, this was a major production.
Yeah, Don Fry did a hell of a job.
Well, of course, he's Don Fry.
What do you think of Don Fry's brand of comedy, Lance?
I enjoy it. I'm a big fan of a dry sense of humor. You don't have to act like an idiot to be funny.
I agree.
Perhaps Vinny should learn this with his bromance of Beale.
Did you hear when you hung up and he said something like, fuck that's Lance, the bromance are great.
No, he hung up with, that's the dick that doesn't like the bromance.
That's right.
Yes, because I DM'd him and called him on it.
Oh, God.
And it's funny because I don't think Vinny realizes, I don't think he realizes we're friends yet.
Of course not.
He's still the, I'm the lowly Mark that reports on wrestling on an audio show, and he's a former WWE superstar, so he was all apologetic, and I just sort of laugh. It's like, it was funny, Vinny, relax.
I know. Well, Lance, I got to say, I consider you my buddy, but when we're on the show and I'm telling you to hold on a second, Vinny's got a drink. There's a part of me in the back of my mind going, Jesus, Brian, do you have to be shouting down Lance here on the show? Lance Storm is on the line, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but I'd like
but
to
I can't help myself.
Point, yeah, at this point, I'd like to think even Vinny should realize that I don't care and he's free to say what he wants.
Well, the more drunk he gets, Lance, the more he, you know.
Yes, he was very apologetic when I called him on him calling me a dick for not liking the bromance.
You know, they're on tonight.
Oh, it's Thursday.
It is Thursday. It's the post-Christmas edition. In fact, I think this is the night that that they announced the AJ Magnus match.
Mmm, tremendous.
So I was going to ask, what is a bigger match, AJ and Magnus or Silva Weidman?
Yeah, that's a tough call.
Or the women's match.
Yeah, this... Every fight in UFC is bigger than that one.
So what is your prediction?
I'm predicting Magnus.
I meant in... Jackass. Talking in the UFC fights.
I'm taking Silva. And I'm reluctantly taking Ronda.
Reluctantly?
I used to be a fan of Ronda Rousey. The bits and pieces I've seen of Ultimate Fighter... she's turned heel in my books and I don't actually like her anymore. But she's got quality heat. Like, I still want to see her fight. She's just gotten more into the, she's the female Frank Mir for me now in that I will enjoy disliking her and I will watch her fights, but, she just came off completely unlikable in my book. So I would be very happy if Miesha Tate beat her. I just don't expect it to happen.
Well, at the end of the day, Lance, this isn't about who you like. It's about who you think is going to kick the other person's ass.
Well, it's also about selling tickets, and I think Ronda has succeeded in doing so.
And she has sold tickets.
Yeah, so I'm picking Barnett, Ronda, and Silva in the top three.
Well, you're in my boat.
Although I'm going to be curious. I think what I'm more interested in now is to see how many of them Don Fry gets right.
Well, he's already in trouble by picking Miesha Tate, so you'll probably do better than he will.
Although, again, I think the, I don't think he'll be all that upset if he misses, calling the women's fight.
Now, Dave did, mention that he didn't know, he feels that in order for this Don Fry thing to occur at every major pay-per-view, he says that Don is going to have to follow the fights closer so that he can give better analysis. I'm not sure if that's the case.
Well, I think this thing has a relatively short shelf life, to be honest. Because
I think you underestimate Don Fry.
Well, perhaps, but I think just Don Fry being, you know, a real man, Don Fry, it's going to be the same routine pretty quickly. And if he gets into just too in depth of a good analysis, then it's not really Don Fry.
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be done a half a dozen times. I think if he's going to do 169 because he said he was going to, and then I think if there's just certain fights that might be interesting for him to comment on, then I think it would be good. But I think if he's going to do every one, I think it'll get old soon.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. I eagerly await the next one. And I also eagerly await later today. We're going to do a Todd show. And we're going to find out if Todd wants to argue Miesha Tate or... actually, you know what? I'll bet he'll argue against Anderson Silva. Or at least have an argument.
Well, he'll have an argument. Although, I don't even remember what you and he were arguing about on the last Todd show. But As per usual, I thought you were completely out to lunch and Todd.
Of course you do, because Todd is a lawyer. That's his job. His job is to convince you he's right, even if none of the facts are in his corner.
No, it's your job is to pose a contrary opinion no matter what and do your best to argue with him. And
no, that's his job. My job is to state the truth.
Yeah, okay.
How dare you, Lance? What the hell were we arguing about?
I don't even remember, but you were just so completely wrong it wasn't even funny.
You say that every time, though. You know what's funny? I got to say this about the Todd show. Every time we have an argument, I'll have to hear people say, Brian is such an idiot. Brian is so wrong. But if you listen carefully, which clearly people don't based on feedback, probably every third or fourth argument we have, we're both actually arguing the same point. And when we're both arguing the same point, people still write how I was completely wrong. It's like, well, you weren't listening to the argument then, because we agreed. So if we agreed, how could either of us be wrong? Huh?
But I think in those cases, it's where Todd will state something, and then he will go, well, no, Todd, and then you'll start pitching your case, which is the same thing, and it's like, well, then you're wrong because you think you're making a contrary opinion when you're not.
Oh, I see. I'm wrong about arguing.
Yes. You're just wrong about everything, Brian. You're married now. You should realize that.
How dare you? That's offensive to my wife.
How is that offensive to your wife?
She doesn't blame me for everything.
She doesn't need to blame you, but if there's an argument, you're wrong.
Oh, my goodness. We don't get at arguments, Lance.
There you go.
I don't bother.
It's because you're always doing radio shows.
That's right. That's not true. We spent all day yesterday. Actually, I did do a show yesterday. The day before. Day before, I didn't do a show. I just posted the Christmas show. That's all I did all day, believe it or not, and the daily update. But other than that.
But did you have a good Christmas? That's the important thing.
Well, we had, I asked about your Christmas. Did you, not this year, but in years past, I'm sure you've had the Christmas where, maybe not, you go to your family's and then you go to her family's, or is that just never happen?
It never happens because my family was all the way across the country.
I see.
Now, we did have, I think it was once, maybe twice over the whole time that we were together that we made the trip to Ontario for Christmas. I think we did it once. The fact that we're nowhere near each other, you're pretty much limited to where you're going to have Christmas. So we've never had to do the, we'll be at this place for Christmas Eve and we'll do this one for Christmas and next year we'll do the opposite. We've never had that issue.
Mm.
And actually, because my wife is the world's greatest cook, we just tend to just have everybody over here.
Well, all of my family is here on both sides. And so yesterday we had my family come over first, and then we went over to her family's. So I spent all day with families. And our families are, what's the best way to say this? Completely unique in completely different ways. How about that?
They're very politically correct, Brian.
So it was a long day.
Mm-hmm. My family's getting noisy, and I like quiet.
Because they're older?
Well, partially, but they're also just very, I don't know, they talk a lot, and they're quite loud and expressive. So I tend to try to hide and hibernate a lot. I actually spent a lot of the day with the Best of 2013 compilation in one ear with my iPod, and when conversation got too loud, I managed to move to another part of the room and just hit the play button on my iPad and zone it on my iPod.
Man, you're the life of the party, aren't you?
I think the thing that made it worse is when I was in Germany, I spent a lot of time by myself. And there's a lot of solitude and quiet to that. And I find that very peaceful. And I forgot how much I missed solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come home and have, 8 or 10 people in your house that are all quite loud, becomes very overwhelming to me that there's just all this noise. It was actually probably the hardest thing I had to adjust to when I first came home off the road, especially because my kids were younger. So it was very, very loud. And I had probably several months where I found that I was very short-tempered and I couldn't handle the noise. And it took me a while to adjust because I was so used to being by myself in airports, being by myself in hotels. And even just the 3 days in Germany with a lot of solitude and quiet, and then coming home to a house full of people, I really had a hard time adjusting. So I'm not a crowd person, and even if it is only eight people or whatever, I tend to vanish.
And no one minds when you just disappear during Christmas?
I occasionally get heat, but I try to stay within sight, but out of earshot side of things. Like, I'll go sit in the corner, or I'll go find some quiet place where it looks like I'm still part of the surround festivities, if you will, but not actually involved in them.
My trick is to be involved for short periods of time and then disappear for longer periods.
Ah, see, that's
and then appear again and disappear.
Mm-hmm. See, my oldest daughter, Rebecca, she's very much like me. So a lot of times we try to peel off by ourselves. That way it's like, oh, we're just, you know, just talking to Becca or whatever. And it's like, okay, we're still having conversations and part of the festivities, but it's really just her and I ignoring everybody else.
I see. So what is the next big holiday coming around the pike for the Storm household?
Well, New Year's, obviously.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And actually, my brother-in-law, Dave, his birthday is the 31st. So there's a birthday and New Year's sort of all tied together. But then nothing until, I guess, my wife's birthday is up next.
So this coming week, you'll be out drinking?
Yeah, for sure. No, Saturday is going to be UFC. That's the next thing that I'm really looking forward to.
How many UFCs do you buy a year?
If I had to guess, it's hard to average because there's years where I don't buy any. There's a lot of years I didn't buy any. I would say probably 4 to 6, maybe.
4 to 6 a year.
At a guess, yeah.
So the boycott long since over.
Well, again, I mentioned back when it was, again, Rebecca was the one that sort of coaxed me back in.
I see.
Because she really enjoys them, and she wants me to buy every one.
You should tell her if she wants to watch it, it's boycotted, but if she wants to spend her own money, you'll get it.
There you go. But it was just, it's something that her and I can do. It's like a common interest. So I sort of got back in because it's something we can talk to and get together. And she's, again, like me, not a particularly sociable person. So it's nice to find something that we can do together. So,
well, when's she going to find somewhere to train up there in Calgary?
Yeah, she doesn't seem to be interested in training. And again, I think she would be fine if she could find a instructor that would work with her one-on-one. But if it involves a group, she doesn't really have any interest in that.
Is she still tweeting a lot or no?
She does. She hasn't been live tweeting Raw lately because she's just found the show just too damn annoying and won't watch it.
That must be why. I have not seen a lot of tweets from her of late.
Yeah, a lot of it is that she's given up on watching Raw, and I have to fight to try to get her to watch. And she's like, no, it's just too stupid.
Yeah, fight to get her to watch because you don't want to watch alone?
Well, I enjoy reading her comments because she, much like me, has a sarcastic sense of humor.
I see.
So I find her opinions of the show amusing. But she's really had a hard time watching the show of late.
You know, many times we've talked about your boycotts, and it is a matter of comedy on the board. So since there's no other news here that after Christmas, is there anything else that you've been boycotting of late?
No, not that I can think of.
Restaurants?
Nope.
Really?
No.
High fructose corn syrup?
My dad was big on boycotting.
I see. That's where it stems from.
Yeah, he was very anti-McCain back in the day because he knew that the McCain Corporation was very hard on farmers, so he wouldn't buy McCain product.
Oh.
And if at any point in time France did anything politically stupid, he would boycott French wine.
What? That showed them, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially considering he was a beer drinker. It's not like he was buying a whole lot of wine.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm expecting it to accomplish anything. It's just that, again, if you...
it's for your own edification.
Well, I'm also loyal in the other respect, and I always find that frustrating with other... actually, my mother-in-law in particular. She's a big reader, but she won't buy books. And
she boycotts books?
Well, she doesn't boycott. She loves reading. It's just she won't pay for anything.
I see.
So she'll go to the library and just, you know, get them for free. And I'm of the other train of thought that I really enjoy reading, so I want to financially support authors, so I buy books. And I don't do the, you know, and she's a big fan of, no, she doesn't have the ability or the technology to do it, but she loves the idea because she's, you know, of, you know, streaming things for free because it's like, well, I'm not paying for anything. And to me, if I like the product, I'll buy it. and support it financially. So if I don't like the product or I don't like something they're doing, then I won't support it financially. And then again, the board is like labeling them boycotts, but just because I'm like, you know what, I'm not buying the show now. It's not like I'm trying to, you know, produce a big embargo or anything. It's just
you're not picketing on the side of the road in Calgary.
No, I'm not giving them my money because I'm not supporting this stupid thing they've done. But again, if authors that I know and like, it's like I buy all of their books because I want to financially support them, because I think part of it is the fact when you're in a wrestling business or an entertainment field, you know, people have to buy tickets for me to make a living. People have to order pay-per-views for me to make a living. So I'd like to think if they like my work, they will pay for it. So if I like someone's work, if I like their music, I'll buy their CD. If I like their books, I'll buy their books. If I like the UFC product, I will purchase the pay-per-view. I believe in financially supporting stuff if I believe in it. But it, conversely, if I don't believe in it, then I'm not going to financially support it. If people want to label it as a big boycott, or again, if I just happen to think that Impact, for an example, is just too dumb and I don't want to watch it, then I'm going to say I'm not watching the show because I'm not supporting it. I don't know if I'll watch Impact tonight or not. It'll depend on what the rest of my family's doing. So,
in case maybe they're itching to watch Impact?
Well, they won't be. And then, again, my in-laws are still here. So unless someone goes out, there'll probably be something going on and I won't be watching Impact. Although I suppose if they're really loud, I'll find another room and maybe I will.
Well, on that note, Lance, let's plug the school.
All righty. Storm Wrestling Academy. It's here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I run 3 sessions a year, starting in January, May, and September. They book up well in advance. 2014 is almost booked completely full. So you need to email the site quickly and make plans well in advance. The key to my school is I'm the one in the ring training you. We also train 5 days a week, so you'll learn the business quickly and properly instead of a lot of the schools that train once or twice a week for like a year and a half. You take forever to learn anything. But I'm the one in the ring with you, demonstrating, wrestling with you, having matches with you, etc. So that's the big plus. Again, I've got students working around the world. I've got a girl in Japan, a girl in Mexico. I've got 3 students currently on NXT television. It's a great place to learn. So check it out. Stormwrestling.com is the website that can take you to the school, as well as my regular site, which I hope to get a commentary up today if I have some time this afternoon. At Lance Storm on Twitter. That's about it for today. That's enough plugging.
If you want to get an inside, in-depth look at how Lance runs a school, go to YouTube and Google World of Hurt Season 1. Everything you ever wanted to know is up there on that program.
Is it up there on YouTube?
I don't know. I just made that up.
I know they did a good job of keeping it off YouTube, so I don't know if there is any or not.
Why would you want to do that in 2014? Spread the word. Well, I mean, selling DVDs? I mean, is there some way to legally get it where it's important that you can't see it if you want to?
No, but perhaps they are still trying to find countries somewhere around the globe that would purchase it for their television stations. I don't know.
I see.
I think it's actually airing in the UK again.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? Well, everybody, as noted, stormwrestling.com is a place to go. There's a splash page. You can go to the Storm Wrestling Academy page, learn about the school. As noted, you are in the ring with Lance Storm. He is there beating your ass and obviously teaching you how to wrestle as well. And then at the end of the session, he will tell you the one thing you're missing. And you're on your way around the world to become a superstar in professional wrestling, including perhaps to WWE's developmental NXT. So that's the Storm Wrestling Academy, and he's got a million guys there. Packed! The place is packed all the time. So if you want to get involved, let me just give a piece of advice about training. Far be it from me. But if you want to be a wrestler, and your idea is, I'm going to wait until I get in shape to get started, sign up now and start getting in shape. Because if you wait to get in shape and then you want to sign up, you're going to wait at least a year before you get in there. So get a hold of Lance, sign up. Your session won't be coming along for a while. It'll give you plenty of time to get in shape, and then you can get out there and get going on this. Don't waste your time. So the stormwrestling.com website as well. Commentaries, Q&As, all sorts of good stuff. So check that out as well. Lance is here every other week. And Lance, as always, thanks for doing the show. I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about once the wrestling. Actually, it'll be the road to the Royal Rumble next time you're on. We could talk about Big Dave Batista and such. So be ready for that. And as noted later on today, Todd Martin is up as well. And then a Brian and Vinny show tonight. So check it out, everybody. And we shall talk to you again after a while.